This episode of Inside Acting is brought to you in part by Rehearsal 2, the app for actors. Want to learn your lines fast, be off book for auditions, explore your characters and make stronger choices? There's an app for that, Rehearsal 2. Download it now at rehearsaltheapp.com/download. That's rehearsaltheapp.com/download. Hey everybody, and Happy New Year. This is Trev, and we're about to jump into part two of our Actors Roundtable chat here in episode 128. But before we do that, I wanted to quickly draw your attention to the website where Ben Whitehair, one of the actors featured in this episode and last episode, made available to us a template he's put together to really kind of set your intention for the year. And it's pretty cool. He's set out the key 7 or 8 points, places of your life that you can focus on. And he's put in some information on how to kind of measure those things effectively. So he makes that available to us in this episode. So head over to our website and look under the show notes for episode 128 for a download link for that document. Other than that, enjoy part two of our Actors Roundtable chat, and we'll catch you guys next week.
So Ben, what? So
speaking of what's not working,
yeah. this past year alone, like, what was one thing that just fell flat on its face, and why? What lesson can you take away from what didn't happen this year?
The tuition specialist company that I started 7 years ago went out of business the day after I quit. Unrelated, though, perhaps not in the meta sense. And it was interesting because it's been such a huge part of my life and has very much created the ability for me to be in LA and spend my time, energy, and money on being an actor. It's been the perfect thrival job. I've learned more from doing that than probably anything in my life. It taught me how to run a business, all these things. And I finally got to a point where I was like, you know what? I had a lot of huge, I don't know this is what did work, but I had a lot of huge breakthroughs around being fully committed to being an actor, even just energetically, and having that be enough and not defining myself by also being an entrepreneur and a social media consultant and all these other things, and just saying, like, I'm an actor and that's enough, and that telling the truth is enough. That came from this thing that I'd been so attached to. I mean, it's been the last 7 years of my life. I've spent more time, energy, and money on that than probably anything else I've done in my life. And to detach myself from it and then have it essentially go completely away, in a sense, that's what didn't work. What was cool is that it created the space for me to detach from it and not have it be, I didn't realize how much of my identity had been tied up in that and in being an owner of that company and those things. So, you know, it was tough, and it was definitely a lot of realigning my life. At the same time that happened, I had some relationship breakdown that really was not working, and moving across town, which was a complete catastrophe. And it sort of all compounded into this, you know, this 1 month of, like, it was hard. And I'm very fortunate. I live a pretty great life. There's this 1 month where I was like, man, this was just hard. Like, I haven't experienced that consistent, like, struggle in my life in many, many years. And just being present to it, staying in the present moment, saying, okay, cool, one thing at a time. Fortunately, you know, nobody died. And, you know, I get to just move forward and do the next thing. And so, you know, that is what I took a lot of lessons from.
Awesome. Jules?
I actually did have a death in the family. So that was, like, the thing that totally shook my world. But also was, like, the most amazing... I went through, like, an existential crisis this year because of it. And after that, on the other side of it, you learn life's great lessons. And that happened like in the summer, and I had the beautiful opportunity of doing Pericles right during the beginning of the rehearsal process. And I lost my grandfather, who was very close to him. And I had the opportunity in this play to deal with grief, loss, reunion, like all those big, beautiful things that Shakespeare talks about. This is why one of the reasons why we do what we do. It's cathartic and it's universal. And it was such a beautiful gift to do that play, especially at that time. And the idea of impermanence came up, that it's all just, it can just all go away anytime. And with that, you can really get down about that. You can be like, oh, shit, nothing's happening today. This is the last day of my life and nothing. And I didn't get that audition or I didn't get that call. Like, you can't think about that kind of stuff anymore. When the idea of impermanence comes up, you get back to what we keep going back to, present moment, listening, being with other people, being really interested in that person that you're talking to, really sharing with them daily, moment to moment. And I feel like even though that was the thing that was really hard this year, it was the thing that has made me grow so much and brought me even closer to my family and friends. So, there's duality in everything, and it's, that's really the only thing that I can, they're little losses, but they really seem to like be nothing in comparison. So, that's probably it for me.
Wow. That's beautiful. I love that you called it learning life's great lessons. I don't know why that just resonates with me.
It's just Shakespeare. I mean, to me, that's good.
Yeah.
What we gain by studying it, why we've studied it for so long, we spend so much time with it, and we're so moved by it.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow.
It's so easy. Like, the core of acting is the human experience, right? And sharing that. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in the career and the profession and other stuff such that you totally miss life's experiences, which is, like you're saying, the whole point.
Yeah. Wow. I'm starting to see the common thread among this entire conversation, which is so beautiful. Brian, how about you, man? What didn't go so well this year that you maybe hoped would have, and why?
You know, it's weird. I don't know that I really believe in that, if that makes sense, because I think you don't learn a lot from success. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot from failure. You learn a lot from fear. Those kind of things are motivators. And so, to me, when things don't go well, that's a sign that things are about to get better. Like, if you run into a wall, it's like, make friends with that wall. Get to know that wall. Be able to, like, draw that wall, you know? I guess there are things... The biggest thing for me was that I got caught up in some nice success to the point that I didn't actually get to act as much anymore. Like, life business got in the way, and all of a sudden, I think it's one of the toughest things as an actor is just not having enough time to actually do it, to like carve out enough time where every single day, even if I don't have an audition or I'm not on set, that instead of like making sure I go to the grocery store first, making sure that like I download some sides off Showfax and just work on them for a little while, or pull out like complete works of William Shakespeare and like, let's just read an act of a play together. So I think the biggest thing to me was realizing that life is just going to get busier. You're only going to have more commitments, more people who, you know, need things from you and are big parts of your life. And that within that, it's still your job to make sure, you know, lawyers practice law every day. Doctors practice medicine every day. A lot of actors, you know, it's like, I got an hour in this week. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no. This is your life. This is this is where you're going to enrich your soul. This is a lot of, generally, this is a lot of our identity. And it's your practice, as you keep saying. And, so I think the biggest thing for me was realizing like halfway through the year that while work might be going well, that my practice was not being nurtured enough as much as it needed to, and that I needed to be really strict with myself about extracurricular activities and hanging out with friends and things like that to make sure I was getting in my reps every day to stay sharp.
Mm. So almost like a personal rigor.
Yeah. Almost. It can be, you know, it's... it's like I said, I was able to get a house this year, and it's like you can spend the entire time being like, well, I have a backyard now. I'm going to go outside and read, or I'm going to paint the house, or I'm going to do these things which are fun and awesome and also part of life. But that only exists because you have something that you care about that you work on really hard, and it's a career and a craft, and making sure. And it's funny because like it's Christmas break, and I was or coming up on it, and I was talking to a bunch of friends, like, okay, guys, who wants to not get rusty over the break? Who wants to, like, every other day get together and throw down some material? And a lot of people said they were interested. But then I had my first one yesterday. One person showed up. And it was like, well, you know, my reps got in and their reps got in. But I think it can be really hard to have the discipline to keep acting when someone's not asking you to read for something or paying you to do something.
Hmm. Yeah, I found that when I started studying at John Rosenfeld Studios, it was a really good reminder of just looking at, like, how often am I actually acting? And in the last 2 months, I track stuff on my calendar and I look back and I'm like, I've acted more than I have in a really long time, and it feels great. But I had a similar thing of like making sure that the craft is happening and that it is a practice. And it is, you know, we are athletes. I notice it. If I haven't been practicing, I'm not as sharp when I go into that audition. Like, it's just not that same level. And it's, I don't know, I find everything you're saying is just resonating.
It also leads to a different kind of nerves. Like, there's one kind of nerves of just like, wow, a lot of people are watching me right now, and there's money on the line. Like, that's one reason to be nervous. But I feel like a lot of times people get overwhelmed by their nerves, or they're like, I have not been doing this very much right now. This is, like, the first time I've really been acting in front of somebody in a month. Mm. And that's a different one. That's more
there's
of a
no reason for that. Yeah, that's so, like, you can
and
change that.
Change that in an instant. And I feel like theater is a way that people can really get those reps in this town. Like, it's an easy one to be like, well, it doesn't pay any money and it gets in the way of my job. But this is your real job. So yeah, I just think it's really important because a lot of times booking a job is, you know, a lot of people are going to tell good stories, but it's who also seems like they can handle the moment and feel not entitled, like, oh my God, I'm the best in the world, but like, no, I'm ready for this job. Like, yeah, NBC, bring it on, absolutely. Where other people might be like, oh, NBC, okay, sure, I'll be there. Huh. And that, I think, comes not from resume experience. It comes from just like, yeah, this is my job, and I do it. And this is a story that I'm so interested in telling, and if you would like a different story, I will happily give you that one too. And that is a practice. That's a skill to be able to, like, stand behind that. That's preparation. So I think the biggest thing this year for me was just making sure that I carved up enough time to do it as life gets busier and busier and busier. Mm.
I love that you call them reps. Mm. Getting your reps in.
Yeah.
Because that makes it, that to me, that puts it in a mindset of like, oh, it's just like brushing my teeth or, you know, pooping on my dominoes. Like, it's like one of those things that you just do every day because you just, that's how you maintain your health.
We're brought up thinking of it as a hobby and an extracurricular activity, and so many people are like, well, I just don't feel this, you know? And it's like, did I wake up on the good side of the acting bed today? And it's like, no, this is your job, you know? I think it's Edward Norton who says, like, you got to be really good at being truthful in the moment or be so good at approximating it when you're not. And that's a skill. That's a practice. Like, you're not going to be there every time.
All 30 takes are not perfectly present and in the moment.
But, you know, but it's that struggle to get there. And yeah, not making it a hobby. Like, anything that makes it, like, yes, it should be fun. Oh my God, it should be fun. But you should take your play really seriously. And a lot of people, I think, do it when they're inspired. You know, it's like, oh my God, I just saw Blue Jasmine. I should act. And it's like, no, you woke up today. You should, you know, this is your life. You should do it because it's awesome. And this is why you're in LA living, you know, in whatever apartment you're in, doing whatever serving job you're doing. You're doing it for that goal. So, like, don't lose sight of that.
There's a writer that has, I get to figure out who says it because I keep quoting it. And it's about writing this, you know, Stephen King or someone who's super prolific. Like, how do you write so much? And they go, well, I only write when I'm inspired. Thankfully, I'm inspired every morning at 9 o'clock on the dot.
Yeah.
You know, like that same thing of like, yeah, act, perform, create constantly. That's what we're doing.
Twyla Tharp talks about it in her book, The Creative Habit.
It's so good, right?
I'm rereading it right now.
It's amazing.
On this little break. And it's so, she, you know, get out there. Like, the thing that people don't tell you is like, you do have to get out there and do it every day. It's like going to the gym. When you do it, you feel better, like, even afterwards. Even though you don't want to get up and go to the gym, I got up and went to the gym this morning, and I hated myself when I was getting out of my into my car when it was still dark outside. But afterwards, I felt better. And when I print the sides off show facts and I run it and work it and make it important, you feel like you've done something that day. So it has a – it's even if you don't feel inspired, you probably will feel inspired afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a muscle. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's got to be warmed up and stretched and flexed. And
you're back to reps again.
I know.
Like,
sorry.
And you and your beach body.
That's awesome, Brian. Cool. Jasmine. Let me rephrase that. What did not go so well this year that you hoped might have gone better, and why?
The one that I'm going to talk about is I was really enthusiastic about getting into theater down here, and I went to an audition. I got to sing for the first time in an audition, which was really exciting, and it went really well. And then the show ended up being really, really not so good. It was really unprofessional, and the material and the writing and the story and was not good. It was the kind of thing that I didn't tell anyone about because I didn't want anyone to come and see it. And the people that forced themselves to come and come were like, why did you do this? And I'm like, I know. So that was not a good thing. But what was good about it was that I got to know where my boundaries are as far as what I will do and won't do and what I'm worthy of doing. And you know, it really helped me to set that expectation for myself and know, you know, okay, this is the kind of work that I want to be doing, and why would I settle for anything other than that? And I'm not talking about, well, I'm only going to do NBC work, because I think I had this story of, well, I'm new here, I've got to, you know, work my way up, I've got to start at the bottom. And you know, yes, that in a sense that's true, but it's not about doing shitty work. It's not about doing crap that you don't want to tell anyone about. It's just about, you know, you can find the smaller stuff, but have it be something that you're proud of. So that was what didn't work, but the lesson that I got from it, and it really changed. You know, I used to just submit for anything. So I was like, I just got to get any work. I'm new here. I've just got to do whatever I can. And now I just don't submit for much at all. And that's okay with me.
Mm-hmm. So you're just being a little bit pickier about the projects that you invest your time and work into.
Mm-hmm.
So just out of curiosity, let's say everything looks good. You submit, you go out, you read, you get cast. And slowly over the course of the next week or two, you start to realize this is going to be an awful production. What do you do? Do you stick with it? Do you pull out? Do you get your management or your representation involved?
You know, I think a few things. I would go to the people around me and say, hey, can I talk to you about this? Which is what I did. You know, I think, you know, I talked to AJ, I talked to Ben about this project, like, and Ryan, our friend Ryan Basham, and so I think talking to people and just getting different perspective and for me, being able to talk something out really helps me to solidify how I feel about it and what my gut's telling me. So that would be important for me to talk it out, just really listen to my gut and, you know that, especially if it's, you know, most of these kind of gigs aren't really paid or, you know, I get to stand up for myself and say, hey, like, mm-hmm. this isn't really working for me.
I love that transparency. I think that cannot be stated strongly enough. It's just how important transparency is in all relationships, but especially business relationships. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not getting paid, I think when you're in a show, a 99-seat show, and you're getting nothing, I think it's still a business relationship. And just mm-hmm. to be transparent with that is it's so huge. Yeah. And people will ultimately respect that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're like, oh my God, what a diva. they might eventually there's a part of them that's going to be like, you know what though, I understand.
Mm-hmm. If they don't, and they're not the kind of people you want to work with anyway, then
yeah.
Well, and that balance of not being like a diva and whatever, but like being like what honestly, Brian was saying, if you know, knowing what you're worth and showing up that way. Of that, my buddy Darren Tunder, who's done a lot of work, just shared a story with me. Booked a commercial job that was like an online industrial thing, whatever, good pay, like union thing. But they said that there weren't going to be any conflicts because it was a car thing and he works a lot, so conflicts are really important. You don't want to be conflicted out of other car commercials. Gets to set, the contract doesn't say that because he's like the spokesperson, like, oh, no, like we're conflicting you out. He's like, well, that wasn't the agreement. You know, meanwhile, you're in makeup, right? They're ready to have you on set. So he's going back and forth with his agent. Long story short, basically, they were trying to pull a fast one. That's not what they said. And he was like, no, you know what? Like, just the day before, he said, you know, as a man, like, as a human, I'm committed to, like, standing up for like, my values and my worth or whatever. And then all of a sudden, the universe was like, okay, cool,
yeah?
Are you sure? Here you go. Got tens of thousands of dollars on the line. And he, you know, he talked to his agent, and he was like, no, you know what? Like, it's the principle of the thing. It was a business agreement. This is what they said, and they get to keep their word. So, you know, I'm willing to leave this job. I'm willing to walk off set. Agent goes back and they come back and they gave him like $50,000 more and a guarantee for all these other spots, even if they didn't run or whatever. And I loved that story because it wasn't coming from an entitlement place or anything like that. He wasn't being a diva. He was just saying, no, like, this is what I'm worth as business people. This is what we agreed to. And we get to all stay in that place. And it absolutely worked out.
Mm-hmm. It's being in touch with your personal integrity and just choosing from that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Integrity. Boom. Boom. How about you?
Just single words. Single word sentences. Amen. Integrity. Boom.
Word.
Right.
Word.
Word. Mm. I think I was listening to everyone else go before me and thinking, like, I don't know if I could pick one thing, number one, and number two, I don't even know what the big lesson of the year was. But I think there was a lot of breakdown and breakthrough in my personal life, relationship-wise, and, like the whole thing about not sharing what was going on with Heather's and then sharing it and realizing, you know, what the breakdown had been. And I think that the big lesson, the thing that I'm really going to be taking into 2014 with me is pretty much the discussion we were having before that Brian started about, you know, doing the reps, like actually making my artistry a priority, whatever that looks like, whether it's like going to the gym or, you know, repping scenes or sides or you know, I would love to revisit the artist's way. It's been a couple of years since I've done that. Just things to sort of, as she calls it, fill the well of creativity. Because you do, you know, it's like that LL Cool J quote that we always talk about, which is about, you know, being ready so you don't have to get ready. And I think that I let some of the breakdown in my personal life kind of affect my artistry, which obviously is going to happen no matter what, like, you know, whether it's the death in the family, like Jules experienced, or like your company shutting down, like Ben experienced, or spoke about. It's obviously going to affect us because acting is being human, and being human is, you know, informs your acting. So obviously it's going to affect it, but where I feel like I get to not let it affect anymore is in allowing myself to not do the reps, not do the work, not put in the work sort of behind the scenes. Because if there is breakdown and it's affecting me as a human being and therefore as an actor, then okay, how can I use that then? You know, like you did in Shakespeare, like how can I take what's actually affecting me and then go and, you know, find a monologue that allows me to express the exact emotions that I'm feeling in my personal life so that I'm actually using it for something, some kind of it's forwarding me, as opposed to detracting from not only my life but my artistry as well. So that's my commitment. And my big lesson for 2013 is not allowing these sort of personal breakdowns to stop me or hold me back.
I think remembering that our art is a tool in processing all of that. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it is being committed to doing it regardless of how you're feeling or whatever is happening in your life, but knowing that, you know, it is a tool, and it's part, you know, it's a beautiful way that we as artists can process what we're experiencing. And, you know, like me dancing, like if I'm feeling something and I'm not sure what it is and I can't really put it in words, then I will just put some music on and just dance. And it's the same, you know, it's the same thing with like you said, finding a monologue, or for me it would be a Spoon River or something like that, where I can just use it as a tool to express myself and have it as a catharsis, or, you know, use it. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Jung said that you should, and things that are happening to you are like heightened emotions or a traumatic experience, or I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was, those things that cause a lot of emotion within us, put it into art. Otherwise, it just goes into our subconscious. It just disappears or just sits there. The act of creating something with that is what puts it out into the universe, puts it out into the world, and it keeps creating.
Yeah, and that's amazing to me, actually, that you just said that, because I was reading yesterday, actually, it was an interview I was watching, but somebody was talking about how we're essentially training ourselves on who we are every time. Every experience, every choice we make, everything we do is training our brain and our subconscious and our heart as to what kind of person we are, what kind of character we have. Mm-hmm. So are we the kind of people that something emotional happens and we just kind of like let it sink in and we don't do anything and it just happens, then we become very passive about it? Or are we the kind of people that channel it into something? And, you know, obviously there's gray area and all that, but bringing a consciousness, I think, to how we are responding moment to moment is actively creating who we are, I think is huge. And you just crystallized that for me by saying that. Carl Jung, I gotta read Carl Jung. I gotta read
and
shit
I would,
stuff.
I would take that one step further too, to say that what we do as artists give others permission to do that. Mm-hmm. Anthony Mindel said that when I was taking his class. And, you know, it's in like our deepest fear, the Marion Williamson poem, right? When we let our light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. And like, that's for me, like, that's why I'm an actor. That's why I act, is like who I be and who, you know, when I take what you're saying, Joel, of like when I take those emotions and put it into the art, right? We give other people permission to do that in their life. And I think that's so important.
He says it goes into the collective unconscious,
yes.
You know, and so
yes.
Then there it is, inspiring other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. God, that's huge. Thank you for that. So for me, my big, there's a lot of lessons from this past year, but the one that I wanted to kind of just bring up here is just the fact that I didn't do a lot of the administrative work that I could have been doing this year as an artist. You know, we really shy away from the business side of things a lot, I think, generally speaking. Some of us are really good at it. Some of us, like me, are just like, I don't want to do that shit. Like, somebody just cast me, and then I'll go do my thing, you know? But so much of our business is marketing and publicity and building these relationships, nurturing. And, you know, so, like, things like postcards and creating my target lists and the thank you notes and the workshops and the classes and all that stuff. I did very little of that this year, and I think it was evidenced in the lack of kind of leveling up that I did in terms of, like, credits in my resume. Like, I did a lot of stuff, and I did stuff that I'm proud of, but there wasn't anything that's actually going to up my game in the eyes of casting directors and producers in the city. They might look at my reel and say, oh, it looks a lot better than it looked last year, but there's no, like, hard concrete, like, oh, yes, co-star here, guest star here, whatever it was. So this year, I get to really buckle down and create a list and just work off that list. Because I've known for a long time exactly what I need to do. And I have avoided and procrastinated and stalled and found distractions like you would not believe to avoid these things. So this year I get to really focus on the business side of it and make sure that I'm letting people know about me, essentially.
And that's why Brian created Actor Salon.
That's right.
Exactly. I mean, it's amazing.
Actor Salon is a pretty... I love it. It was a brainchild that Brian Patak and I had, but it basically comes from... People generally have two reasons they don't follow through on their business side of their career more. One is sometimes it's just accountability. You know, kind of what you're talking about is that no one's going to be like, why didn't you do that this year? When you're talking about your postcards or your target list. Some people need just the support of other people saying, like, so what do you do? Well, if not, then why not? And how can we help problem solve and troubleshoot that idea? And then the other part of it can sometimes be because people take it very personally because they, yes, we're a business, but it's me. So I'm sending out postcards of myself, and how indulgent is that? It's not at all. You're a business, and like Bed Bath & Beyond doesn't really think, oh my God, is AJ going to take my postcard and buy towels from me? Oh my God, what is he going to think? Am I bothering him? No, you're just offering to solve a problem.
No, 20% off is great. Thanks, Bed Bath & Beyond.
Plug. Sponsor the
podcast. Our newest sponsor.
Towels sponsored by.
Yeah, but it's this general idea that like people think it's a very personal thing, and it's not. It's business. Your business is personal to you, but it's... You know, people have to know that you exist to call you to offer you that part. They have to know what it is that you're selling, because in this business, you need, a 30-year-old one-armed hunter. You can find it.
Yeah.
You can get it. And no one's going to be like, oh, well, are you one of them? No? Okay, well, are you? Not, like, it exists. And so you have to let people know exactly, you know, what your brand is without any kind of, like, and I'm awesome because of it, or with shame. It just is what it is. And if you need me, I'm your guy. And in general, if anybody is having trouble with the business side of their career, I absolutely recommend Actor Salon, which you can look at actorsalon.com.
And as someone who is not involved in like creating it or anything, I joined Actor Salon because I was a big proponent of the Actors Network. Kevin E. West, who's been on the podcast, and I did that, and it was great. It is now just online, and he's still doing stuff, but it's not the same in person level. And then very shortly after, discovered Actor Salon, and it's been the first time in 5 years that I've been consistent about my marketing and been consistent about doing the reps every day of creating. Same deal of like doing the reps every day of the business side of it and having that accountability and having a small group of people who are also doing that, like who are creating things, and I can email and, hey, I've got this audition, you know, just happened this morning. Someone's got an audition and they're wanting support on creating these sketch comedy characters. Cool, come over to my house at 1:00, you know, wherever you can, whether it's Actor Salon or something else, finding that group to keep you accountable to whatever it is and be, you know, the support group in that, I just think is imperative when, like you're saying, no one at the end of the day goes, so did you clock into work today? No one gets mad. You don't get fired. You just didn't do anything.
Teaches it to you. Like, you know, we went to UCLA, like, and we got some great acting training, but I never got business training.
Oh, no.
No one ever told that you graduate, or you don't even graduate, you just go into this business. You're a business owner. Mm-hmm. You're a CEO of a company that exists, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the deal. And so I love that you brought up Dale Carnegie's book, because that was a big thing that, like, taught me just about business relationships, how to make friends and influence people. A big part of... Because I'm not a part of Salon anymore because just other work got too busy. So I promise none of this is going into my pocket. But like a lot of business skill I got from like reading Moneyball. Like it's a book about sports, but it's also really just about value and business sense and how to like take advantage of a situation. And, you know, you look at the majority of actors in LA, they are not marketing themselves. They have no idea what their brand is, and they're not telling people that they exist. And so you are lapping people if you actually are just, you know, once a month sending out a postcard to the people who know you, being like, hey, I still exist. This is what I do. Good to see you. Because those things, they do end up having a cumulative effect. One postcard is pretty meaningless, but 5 years of consistent postcards, people feel like they know who you are. I'll never forget, I was in a Dean Franck workshop, and someone was asking, like, do you, you know, someone inevitably raised their hand. I was like, do you like postcards? And then we all sighed. And Dean was like, if you have any questions about marketing, ask Brian Norris. I had met this guy once, and he had not cast me yet.
Wow.
And he just said, honestly, I just always know what's up with him. Just, you know, once every month or two, I get a postcard from him. It says he, like, just signed with this person or just did this thing. And, you know, sometimes he just says, like, happy holidays. And, you know, I know what's up with him, and I know where to find him. He had not cast me yet. I had read for him once. But, you know, I went in for him a bunch after that, and I ended up working with him. And it's just so many people aren't doing it.
Yeah.
And generally because they either don't think of it or because they feel like it's, like, embarrassing. And I think that embarrassment is deeply related to, are you acting every day? Mm-hmm. Because you're worried someone actually is going to pick up the phone and call and say, oh, you know that really, you said you were really good at this. Can you do it? Oh, I haven't done that this week. Darn it. How am I going to get this into shape? And so I think they're all much
all
connected.
Related,
If you're working on your acting all the time, you are comfortable telling people you are an actor. If you're telling people you're an actor, they're going to want to see you act all the time.
Yeah.
You have to feel deserving.
Yeah, absolutely. You got the look in your eyes that, like, yeah, this, I'm deserving of this job.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned UCLA earlier and the fact that, you know, no one really gets, you know, business training. I went in and did my, I started doing my digital actor workshop.
That's so awesome.
For them, finally. And it was because I was offering it at USC. So I was doing it across town at USC for the grad students there, and finally they picked up on it. And it wasn't from lack of me being like, hey, knock, 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 like, you should probably offer this to your students. Anyway, I bring it all up to say that, like, now I do it at UCLA, USC. I'm hoping to do it at other universities around LA as well. But the reason I'm bringing it up is not, it's not a plug. It's to go back to that point of, like, that, the business training, because what I noticed is that the more I did it, the less and less it became about computers and the more and more it became about marketing and being the CEO of your own business and so on and so forth. Like, so many students were like, wait, what? Like, I was getting all these questions and then as I started to grow in it and I started to do it in my own career and whatever, it gave me the confidence to really, like, hit home these, like, huge points. And all of a sudden you've got, like, a room full of grad students, like, freaking out and, like, writing stuff down like crazy because they're realizing that this is some of the most valuable stuff that they've gotten because they've been so focused on the craft the whole time and not on the business. And getting questions that seem really simple and for lack of a better word, obvious to us now, having been out of school for so long and actually doing the work and being in the business, they're being asked, you know, and it's like, why aren't you? Oh, because I wasn't told that when I was in school, so I get it. Like, I totally get it.
Well, class is about getting...
And that's sort of what the podcast is about, too, on top of everything else. But,
well, class is about getting better at acting. You know, that's what getting a theater degree is about. That's what going to a scene study class is about. The business of acting is about being seen. And those are two just entirely different skills. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that famous story, I don't know if it's true or not, that when Meryl Streep came to L.A., she didn't look for an agent, she looked for a publicist. Because she knew she was good. She just needed to be seen. And whether that's true or not, I'm going to choose to believe it is true. That makes all the sense in the world to me. Like, that's what the business is about. Do you have a business that generates appointments? That generates people seeing your work? That is totally separate from, are you good at it or not? And I think a lot of people are like, well, I'm really good, and someone should just know it.
Not to mention, how many actors do we watch on TV going like, oh, God, that guy's so bad. Or, she's awful. Like, I can think of probably 5 or 6 off the top of my head, and yet they work all the time because the way they look, because they fit a certain type, or they just, you know, like, whatever it is, they're getting seen and they're working a lot, and they don't have to be the best actor in the world; they just have to be good enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's something we should all aspire to.
One thing that can hurt actors is the desire to be great all the time. Like, you're playing you're doing Death of a Salesman. Is anybody trying to be awesome at acting in Death of a Salesman? No, they're people living their lives, you know? Yeah. Like, the sports analogy I always tell people is, like, just try to hit a single. Like, don't try to crush it. This isn't the home run derby. This is just do your job. Yeah. You know? It's like, if your character's going to the sink for a cup of coffee, like, just do that. Don't show me how well you do that.
These are the highest stakes of your... This is the most important cup of coffee.
Because
in your
then
life.
It's much more about you than it is about the character or the story being told, you know?
But you can crush those postcards that you design.
You can crush those. You can make them snazzy. They can have cool designs. You can get a logo. That's where you hit the home run.
If there are any producers listening, by the way, I can go and get a great cup of coffee. So
you got me great tea before this.
There you go.
So I want to just kind of put a cap on this whole awesome roundtable we've been having. I've been learning so much from everybody, and the whole idea of this was to do a kind of annual review and just kind of look back at what was awesome, what wasn't so awesome. And now going forward, I mean, we could spend another hour probably talking about goals and things that we're excited about this year and what we want to accomplish, but I think it might be more effective at this point just to maybe state a quick intention. Like Chris Gullibo talks about this, and I know you're familiar with this, Ben. He talks about just choosing a kind of theme for the year. That theme might be aligning the personal side of your life and the business side of your life and making sure that they're in sync. It might be, for me, you know, the year of publicity, maybe. I don't know what word I would use just yet, but something along those lines. So I thought we'd just go around and maybe choose a quick little theme for the year. Ben, you want to kick us off?
Yes, I will say a theme. I'll also give you guys, I created a document for like an annual review. I've been doing it for like 5 years. I drive back to Colorado. I'm going on Saturday with my buddy Robin. And for 5 or 6 years, we do an annual review of looking back at the year, what worked, what didn't, and then setting forward, you know, all the things I'm going to do in a year. And I'll send you the document template that people can use to do that. I found it to be so helpful. As I think about that, my theme for the year is just owning, like I said, I had these breakthroughs of just like owning being an actor and that's enough. And that like that is my first priority, that I get my reps in every day, that I do the business stuff every day, that all those different pieces are happening.
Well, that's cool. So it's really just almost like a year of ownership.
Yeah. Ownership is a really great word to put on that of like I said before, I've always been like, what would you do? I'm an actor. And I do this, and I do that. And it's not even that I'm not going to do some of those things. I'm doing stuff for social media, and my purpose on this planet is vast. I contain multitudes. But really owning, like, I am an actor. And the more that I do those reps every day, and the more that I'm doing that marketing, and the more that, like, that is my life, the more that I've been owning that. And the more that, you know, just the first thought that comes to my head when I wake up or when I go to bed of, like, being an actor and focusing on actually creating money from that as well, which is a huge shift for me because I've always been kind of resistant to that and wanting to have my money separate so that I can make whatever creative choices I wanted and to not feel like, oh, here's the best, you know, indie film with Aaron Sorkin that's not going to pay me anything or this commercial and now I have to take this commercial. So I've been averse to that, but owning like, yeah, I've been here long enough. I'm at a place in my career where I am generating in the thousands of dollars money from acting and that I can continue to focus on actually generating an income from my career.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, I can't wait to see what's in store for you this coming year. You're a powerful guy, and I can feel the momentum just building. And I'm just kind of on the periphery here, just kind of looking in. So I think some big things are in store.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, stoked. Jules, how about you?
I think what comes up strongly for me is authentic connection. Mm. Not just, I was going to say connection, but it's really got to be authentic. And it has to do with not only my work, of course, that's what I strive for in my work and in my relationships, but it's also the business side, which I'm like you. I'm like, that's not my favorite part. But I find creativity in it, like with making the postcards and things. I actually really enjoy it now because it's a form, like it's very artistic for me, or doing my website or whatever. But to really connect authentically through my marketing as well as my work, I think that's always been something that I felt like I have to, I have to make it look so much better than what it is, you know, for example, of like, oh, booking a co-star in a TV show, you know, and I'm like, well, it's just a co-star. It's not big. I'm not going to send a postcard out on that. But let's, you know, thousands of people wanted to get that job. I should be, you know, authentically happy, happily sharing that with the people who have been shepherding me along with this in this career for a while. The casting directors, the producers, the writers that I know. So I think that translates to so many different parts of my life. So I think that's a good one to go with.
Sweet.
It might change, but I think that was a good one for now.
Cool. I love it.
Brian, by the way, had a commercial audition, which he graciously moved in order to be here to record. But we ran a little long, so he had to run, and that's why he's not here anymore.
Jazz.
What's come up for me during our chat today is committing to doing the work. Just, you know, doing the work, doing the reps, honing my craft and practicing that as my job, you know. And also, you know, just getting clear about what it is. You know, sometimes I write and sometimes I'll, you know, dance or work out or, but, you know, really committing to doing the work and being clear about what it is that I'm doing, you know, printing out sides from Showfax or, you know, reading plays and that sort of thing, and really making the commitment to do that like it's my job. You know, I'm okay owning now. It took me a while to owning saying I'm an actor, but now I actually get to, you know, be that too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So like a year of commitment.
Yeah.
Really.
Commitment to the work.
Awesome.
Yeah.
AJ, what do you got?
I would say presence and accountability, which came up a lot during our chat. I really appreciated the way that Brian put it and hadn't connected it to my past year in that way until today. The fact that a lot of the breakdowns with regards to my career and what's next and like, should I do this, that, or the other thing, like wanting to have the answer was a lot of just not being present. And I love Jules, like you connecting it to, that's what we do as actors in our work. So, you know, God forbid if I'm not being present in my life, like it's going to show up in my work. And I feel like I've had some really great opportunities and I've just nailed audition after audition after audition. So thankfully I feel like it hasn't affected me too much, but it's a practice. And so, you know, there's always a chance of it, either reverting or, you know, maybe I'm not being the best, you know, that I can be in the room. So that's really just about being present and then accountability. Jasmine and I are going to be auditing Actors Salon soon. So it's something that we are very interested in. But with or without it, just showing up and doing the reps, like having something to be accountable to and knowing that when I wake up in the morning, I'm an actor, and when I go to bed at night, I'm an actor, and that I get to, you know, show up for that job like the lawyer, like the doctor.
Hmm.
I had this, I think I may have mentioned this on the podcast years ago. I had this drama teacher in high school who used to say, like, look, if you're going to call yourself an actor, you better be doing something for your career from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day, because that's what everybody else does. You know, so just having that level of commitment, as Jasmine said, but I'm going to call it accountability, holding myself accountable to that amount of work and that type of rigor, and knowing that it's going to be fun. Not telling myself any other stories that it's not going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's what I want to do with my life. It's what I love doing. So it's going to be fun.
Awesome. There's a lot of years of in that one year of fun, year of commitment also.
Well, no, it's presence and accountability, or just presence, yeah. Just being present It could all be boiled down to that, because being present is fun. Being present to, you know, acting is accountable, being accountable, so.
And just really owning that our job is play. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, okay, I'm committing to do the work 9 to 5, but it's like, how much play and creativity is in that 9 to 5?
Yeah, yeah. My buddy Scott, when I first got out to LA, he said to me, I didn't know shit about the industry at all, or the lifestyle, I knew nothing. And he said, getting the job is the fun part. He's like, when you actually go and you show up on set, or you show up on at rehearsal and you're doing that, he's like, that's the fun part. He's like, that's not the work. The work is everything leading up to that. Mm. And that was my first taste of what it actually means to be an actor. You don't just, like, dance around all day. Like, there's work that goes into making sure that this is run intelligently.
Mm-hmm. What I love about what you said, Jewel, is to infuse the creativity into that, right? Such mm-hmm. that, I mean, that's what we do. We're creative people. So be creative about how you network, how you market, how you connect mm-hmm. with other humans, how you know what I mean? Like, every actor's bio page on their website is exactly the same. That's crazy to me. Like, be creative. What is unique about you? Do something different. Make it a video. I don't know, right? Like, infuse that creativity with what you're doing, and then it becomes play and mm-hmm. not work.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I think it was you, actually, Ben, that mentioned on the podcast once you were talking about when you co-hosted once or something, we were talking about this sort of same subject, and you, I think it was you, was talking about like Brad Pitt, like how often he's acting.
Yeah,
you know, like he maybe acts like a week a year, all told.
Yeah, no, the big celebrities are spending very little time on set, and it's one of the reasons why if you hate the career of being an actor. I'm like, go do community theater somewhere, and you will act way more than anybody in LA. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame in that. Like,
no.
That is not a, oh, go do community theater. It's like, no, please, like, go create and act. And I have a lot of friends who've made that choice to say, you know what? I don't want to market. I don't want to network. I don't want to sell myself. I don't like that. I love acting. So I probably will never do it on the same scale or have the same audience, perhaps, but I'll be doing it all the time. And you can go do plays and movies and everything else that where you're acting all the time, mm-hmm. it just may not be for a network ever. And that's okay. And just being clear about what you want and finding that balance such that you're happy and doing what you care about.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
How about you, Trev?
Our friend
2014 intention.
Our friend Evan said to us at a recent meeting that scattered focus equals scattered results. And that really sank in for me. And I, in that moment, I got to own that I have a lot of scattered focus. There's a lot of things I want to do, a lot of things I want to be. And it's a little bit of like jack of all trades, master of none thing happening. So as painful as it is, I get to just let a lot of things go this year. A lot of things that I'm passionate about that I love to do. Because based on results, it's not working for me. And I get to just buckle down and focus single-mindedly on those one or two things that are going to help me get to the next level. Because ultimately, that's the most fulfilling thing. Even though it takes some sacrifice in the beginning, I think that will pay off in the long run and ultimately create much more freedom for me to pursue all those things. Just for now, for a short period of time, mm-hmm. I can just narrow my focus and drill down on the important stuff. So this year for me is the year of focus.
Wow.
The year of focused results. Mm.
That's awesome. I can't wait to, boom. I can't wait to ask her about it, our next interview with Alexis. And I think you should ask her about it as well.
Yeah.
Because
I can't wait.
We heard from her boyfriend, Caduce, who was also a guest on the podcast. She's going to be a guest coming up. But she's one of the reasons she's going to be a guest is because she's the one of like three series leads on this new ABC sitcom called Mixology, which they're calling like the next Friends. I mean, people are like really excited about this, and they shot all 22 episodes of the first season without airing a pilot. Like it's mm-hmm. crazy. Like people don't do that anymore unless it's going on like Netflix or something. So anyway, He said that she said that the reason she booked it is because one day she's decided that she was going to narrow her focus down to booking a series lead, and she was not going to do anything else if it didn't support that vision. So she turned down meetings. I mean, like, meetings with people who were, like, you know, maybe film producers or theater producers or something, you know, involved in some other thing. She was turning down meetings. She was not going to events. She was not doing da-da-da unless she believed that it was going to support her vision of booking a series lead, and she did it. So I'm really excited to ask her about that, but it goes so in line with what you were just speaking into about focusing in. That's really powerful.
And if you read interviews or hear people, successful people who have, you know, quote unquote made it in the industry, and I define that as making a healthy living off of their art, they all have some variation on that theme of all just like, yeah, no, I had to get super focused and just make this happen. And so I think that's a key for everybody. You know, scattered focus equals scattered results. Mm-hmm. So what is focus mm-hmm. equal, you know? So this has been awesome, guys. Thank you so much, everybody, thank you for organizing this, AJ. And thank you, everybody, for taking the time to sit down.
Thank you for showing up.
Thanks for having us.
If people, I'm hoping that this has been really useful to a lot of our listeners, and I know that people are going to be curious to find out more about you guys. So, Ben, we know where people can go to find you.
Yeah.
BenWhitehair.com.
BenWhitehair.com.
BenWhitehair everything,
put
basically.
My name in the internet.
Yeah.
I'm easy to stalk.
Yeah.
Noted.
Cool. And Jules, where can people find out more about you?
I guess my website, JulesWilcox.com. Two L's in Wilcox. That's a little different, so.
Wow. I've been misspelling that for a long time.
I think it's misspelled on my phone right now.
You and everyone.
Excuse me while I change your name in my iPhone right now.
So, website, IMDb, you can kind of see the cool stuff that I've been up to lately, and Twitter, Facebook, you know, social media spots.
Sweet. Okay.
MySpace. All Jules. Friendster.
All Friendster, yes.
Yes. All Jules Wilcox with two L's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. Brian's been acting for his entire life, so he's probably also easy to stalk online. Mm-hmm. Brian Norris. I think he has his own website, BrianNorris.com. Maybe not, but I'm sure if you Google him and the word actor, you will find something because he has been around for a very long time. Going back to being a child actor on, like, Nash Bridges and stuff.
I mean, did not know that.
Oh, man. He's been acting his whole life, so... it's part of the reason why he's so good at the business stuff. He's probably got the most collective experience of everyone at this table. So definitely keep an eye on his career as it just keeps growing and moving in different directions. And very proud to call him a classmate.
Awesome. Where can people find out more about you, Jazz?
Facebook, Twitter, Jasmine Bristow, @ Jasmine Bristow on Twitter, and find me on Facebook.
Okay.
That's awesome. Jasmine with no E.
Right on.
The correct way to spell it.
Yes.
And AJ, we know where to find you.
Yes, exactly. You know where to find me.
You know where to find me, Trevor.
You know where to find us. We talk about ourselves entirely too much on this
podcast. All the time. Awesome. Well, thank you again, guys. This has been really cool. And I've personally learned a lot just listening to everybody's kind of journey. And this has been amazing. I hope we get to do this next year and every year for a long time.
Yeah, you know what, I learned a ton as well, and one of the things I learned is I want to do this. Like, if we didn't have the microphones going, this still would have been extremely valuable, and I would be, like, taking notes and just asking
amazing
people. Yeah, asking people questions. And the resources and stuff, all of which, by the way, we have been taking notes, and we're going to put a lot of this stuff on our website. Is actually a good segue. Should we go into the wrap up?
People know. People know.
Anyway, InsideActingPodcast.com. You know where to find us.
Yes.
And everything that's there.
So happy holidays, everybody. Merry Christmas. Merry Kwanzaa.
Christmahansa Kwanica.
Yes.
Okay,
we'll see you in 2014.
This episode of Inside Acting has been brought to you in part by VO2GoGo.com. The award-winning voiceover training system and winner of Backstage's Reader's Choice Award for Best VO Training 4 years in a row. Visit VOtogogo.com/start for a free Getting Started in VoiceOver online class that will help you add voiceover to your acting portfolio. That's viotogogo.com/start.